Hello, my name is Kennedy Sam, and welcome to this week's edition of Conversations with Creative Waco. We are a fourth Friday feature on KWBU. Keep listening for conversations with creatives and community leaders making an impact in our artistic and cultural sector. On today's episode, we'll be joined by Mark Long, who is the founder of a new weekly events publication called The Waco Insider. In the second half of the episode, we'll be joined by Cultural Arts of Waco's Executive Director Doreen Ravenscroft and our lovely Executive Director Fiona Bond to be introduced to the Bridge of Souls project and to chat about this year's Cultural Arts Fest. Later on, we'll hear the segment David and Art with David Smith. So to kick off this month's episode, we welcome Mark Long with Waco Insider. Hey, Mark, how are you?
I'm good. How are you today?
I'm great. So welcome to the table. Welcome to the show. We're so glad to have you. Can you just give us a little introduction to you and who you are?
Sure. I moved to Waco a little over 20 years ago to originally teach English at Texas State Technical College. Fell into book publishing for about 8 years while I was there. Have taught at Baylor and MCC after that. Did kind of the grand tour. Mm-hmm. And currently, my day job is editorial content manager for a software company based in Illinois.
Awesome. So how did you find your love for English and writing and being an editor and all those good things?
Well, my dad was an college English professor, and I have to admit I've had a love for words ever since I was a little kid. Mm-hmm. He would read Hardy Boys books to me before I could read and would like act out all the voices. And I remembered being so desperate when I was a kid to be able to read on my own so that I didn't need someone to read stuff to me. And I had my own little handwritten newspaper when I was like 8. The Armadillo Gazette that I would like local mysteries, as I thought, in the neighborhood and stuff like that.
So you created that yourself?
Yes.
Wow.
And, I mean, it didn't have a very wide circulation since I had to write every one of them out by hand. But that was really where it began, and that was why I studied English in college and have taught, done book publishing, was a freelance writer for different places for 3 or 4 years, but in some way, shape, or form, I've always gotten to work with words.
Yeah. So what's your favorite genre?
Well, I have to admit that, like, I'm a big fan of, like, hard-boiled detective mysteries, that kind of thing. I've always, my secret dream of dreams is to have my own series, detective series, that would be, like, a guy who played disc golf, who, like, went around the world. It would be kind of like the Big Lebowski.
That's very Waco, disc golf.
Right. I was going to say like the Big Lebowski, but it would be disc golf instead of bowling.
That's awesome. Well, cool. That's such an interesting background. And so how did your love for publication and your interest in writing turn into this kind of all-encompassing events calendar, which is Waco Insider?
Well, when I went to school at UT in Austin. And one of the highlights of every week when I was there, because I am a big live music fan, every Thursday afternoon, the Austin Chronicle would come out and it would have these comprehensive music listings for the 8 million clubs that were in Austin. And I mean, I remember like rushing down to the local newsstand where I could get it, because that really helped me plan out my entire weekend, you know, where I was going to go, what I was going to see. And one of my big frustrations when I moved to Waco was that there just really wasn't anything like that. And it seemed to me, and especially in the last 4 or 5 years, given kind of the growth Waco has seen, that there was a real need for something like that.
So can you talk a little bit about the Waco Insider and kind of the format that it's in right now?
Sure. We have a website, wacoinsider.com. That is essentially an events calendar website where people can go in and search by venue or types of events, see comprehensive listings for stuff that's going on, especially for the next couple of weeks out. And because my big thing has always been, there's only 4 things that I want to know when I am interested in going to do something, which is, when is it, where is it, what is it, How much does it cost? And one of my other kind of frustrations was that I would see listings for things going on around Waco, and they might have 2 or 3 of those 4 things, but you hardly ever saw all 4.
Right.
And so I was like, I really would like to be able to put something together like that. Back in February, it was right when we had Snowpocalypse. Mm-hmm. I decided at that point that I wanted to start putting together a weekly newsletter that would go out with the listings for the next week, as well as link out to other articles and podcasts about Waco and stuff going on in Waco. And so we've linked to articles in, what is it, the Wacoan, Waco Mom's mm-hmm. blog, places like that, and also various podcasts that are Waco related yeah. as well too.
So have you guys been able to form any partnerships yet between these different organizations? Because I mean, like with the lineup that's coming, especially with summer ending and moving into fall, and we have a lot of programming with Baylor starting up and MCC starting up, do you have any partnerships in the works to kind of broaden?
Yeah, we're certainly looking at that now. I mean, for a long time, it was just kind of me getting up early in the mm-hmm. mornings to put together listings and stuff mm-hmm. like that. And we've certainly been able, thanks to Creative Waco, to be able to kind of expand the scope of what we're doing. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, that's one of the things that we're reaching out now to different venues as well as organizations to see what we can yeah. do to work hand in hand to help promote what it is that they're doing. I originally was interested in this just because I wanted to answer the question on any given day is like, what can I do tonight?
Right.
And something completely by accident that happened after that, I mean, thanks to COVID, when everything just shut down for a year, is that I think it's even more important to let people know what the options are mm-hmm. that are going on. I am constantly amazed at how many places did manage to stay open and in business, given yeah. the big, when everything was pretty much shut down. And so I think that that's part of being in a community that you want to have a thriving cultural art scene is to, especially in times like this, doing what you can to help get the word out about what's going on.
And you mentioned that you started this in February, and so you've been a one-man show for, a good part of the year so far. How is it finding all of these events? Like, how many hours do you spend just trying to find all the things to post on your website?
Well, the newsletter started in February. Mm-hmm. The website had actually been around for a couple of years.
Oh, wow.
And it was kind of a hard slog in the beginning. And so the first thing that I did was that I just have a list of websites and web pages that I check on a weekly basis. Mm-hmm. There are a lot of organization business newsletters that I subscribe to so that I can capture what they're doing. And then I also just have a list of people that I email mm-hmm. every week
wow.
To double check what I know they have live events, whether they get it on Facebook or on their own business calendar page, that I just get in touch with every week to see what it is that's going on.
Yeah. So you mentioned the four things that you try to capture in all of the listings. But exactly what events are you listing on your site and in the newsletter?
Right. Well, originally, a couple of years ago, I was trying to do everything.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I mean, everything.
Yeah.
And that was just like...
It gets overwhelming.
Right.
Oh, so overwhelming.
Yeah, quickly. Well, I was like, how many venues can there be in Waco? Right. 25 or 30, something like that. And all of a sudden, I had a database that was over 300 different places
really?
That had events. Yeah, I never would have guessed.
That's crazy.
And it was too much.
Yeah.
And so what I really decided to cut it down to was... events that live music, food, different art stuff, some shopping things. Like Act Locally Waco has a great calendar.
Yeah.
Like if you want to get involved in the community, they have a lot of great stuff going on. And like I didn't really see any need to like try to duplicate what they were doing because they do it really well. So my thing is mainly, like I said, live music, mm-hmm. arts, movies, food, shopping, those kinds of things. A little bit of sports, mm-hmm. like Baylor football games, stuff like that. But sports is such a big thing once you get into it. It's like yeah. Baylor has 8 million teams. You have 8 million high schools. And I was just like, that is too much. So I'm going to kind of avoid that for the time being.
Yeah. So... How can people get involved and get their events listed on your site?
If you go to our Facebook page, our email address there is info@wacoinsider.com. Mm-hmm. You can always just email me a link to what it is that you have going on. If you don't have it someplace online, like I said, those are the four things I'm looking for. What is it? When is it? Where is it? How much is it? And then if you go to the website, we have a submissions form that you mm-hmm. can fill out that asks for that same basic information so that you can get it submitted as well, too.
Yeah. And so you guys also have a weekly newsletter that comes out every Thursday.
Right.
How can people subscribe, and how many people do you have on your list, your mailing list right now?
I think we're getting up towards 300 people now. So every week it's growing little by little. And my goal is to get up to 1,000 as soon as possible. But if you go to our website, wacoinsider.com, there is a sign up form right there to where you can sign up and start getting it every week.
And so with fall coming, events rolling all through October, what are your visions for the future and the impact of the Waco Insider on our Waco community?
Right. Well, I think that the events listing was just kind of step one. Mm-hmm. Like I said, when I used to read the Austin Chronicle, that was the first thing that I wanted to know was what was going on. But the other reason that I always liked it as a publication was that it told me about the things that were going on. And there's a lot of things that I list that are going on in Waco that I really just wish I knew a lot more about what they were and what exactly was going on there and things like that. And so that's why the next phase that we're going through now is starting to produce a lot more original content about upcoming arts and cultural events, about venues where these things are going on, and about the people that are part of the creative community here in town.
Yeah. Well, you heard it here first. If you guys want to be the cool people in your friend circle who knows all of the events going on, you got to join the Waco Insider. Thank you so much, Mark, for joining us today.
Thank you very much for having me.
Make sure to visit wacoinsider.com to subscribe to their weekly emails to receive the lineup of events coming straight to your inbox every Thursday. You can also connect with them online on Facebook and Instagram @WacoInsider. This conversation will be posted on kwbu.org, and you can also visit creativewaco.org/blog for content related to this episode. We'll be back for more deep dives into local arts and culture.
This is 103.3 Waco Public Radio. A famous American performer is memorialized in Paris. Here's David Smith with this week's edition of David and Art.
One of the most famous sites in Paris is a Roman-style temple called the Pantheon. When construction on it began in the mid-1700s, it was intended to be a church. But by the time it was finished, the French Revolution was going, so it was repurposed as a final resting place for French luminaries from the worlds of politics, science, and the arts. The philosophers Voltaire and Rousseau are there, novelists like Victor Hugo and Emile Zola, key politicians like Léon Gambetta and Jean Jaurès, scientists like Marie Curie. On November 30th, they will be joined by an American, an African-American, an African-American woman. Her name is Josephine Baker. Baker was born in 1906 in St. Louis and grew up wanting to be a dancer. By the early 1920s, she was in New York working in chorus lines. Finally, she got a job with the traveling production of Shuffle Along, one of the most significant Broadway musicals of its day. Still, she didn't have a big breakthrough until she left the country to perform in France. She arrived in Paris on September 22, 1925. By the 1930s, she was known primarily as a jazz singer and became a French citizen in 1937. Her star status helped her become a special agent during World War II, working against Nazi occupation. Her house was used as a base by the French resistance, and as she performed around Europe, she carried secret messages written in invisible ink on sheet music. After the war, she returned to the United States for a triumphant tour. But when dozens of hotels wouldn't let her and her entourage stay in them, she forcefully spoke out against segregation, was consequently labeled a communist, and her work permit was canceled. By 1963, she was an outspoken figure in the civil rights movement and only one of two women to speak at the 1963 March on Washington. She died in Paris in 1975. The idea to honor her in the Pantheon has been around for a while, but it gained momentum last May when a petition drive began. By June, it had 30,000 signatures. Only the French president can decide to induct someone into the Pantheon. But last month, President Emmanuel Macron announced that he supported it. So, in November, it will happen. Critic Laurent Kupferman said that in a world turned in on itself, where tribalism and racism are exacerbated, her ideals resonate in people's hearts. Americans should know this and should be proud.
This and past episodes can be found on our website at kwbu.org. Look for David and Art in the Programs tab.
Welcome back. You're listening to Conversations with Creative Waco on KWBU, and I'm your host, Kennedy Sam. We are back and joined by Doreen Ravenscroft, who is the Executive Director of Cultural Arts Waco, and Fiona Bond, who is the Executive Director of Creative Waco, to share about an upcoming project called The Bridge of Souls, and to give us some details about this year's Waco Cultural Arts Fest coming to downtown Waco October 15th. Doreen and Fiona, thank you so much for joining us today.
Our pleasure.
Thanks. Great to be here.
Yeah. So I'd like to start off this conversation by talking about the Bridge of Souls and introducing this new project, which is coming to downtown Waco. Would you guys just like to introduce the project and kind of how it came to be? I know it started as an idea, like all things, and then it just, you know, came to life.
It really started around a conversation that emerged from the Strategic Communications Task Force for COVID, which is chaired by Hector Sabido and Natalie Kalinsky. And, you know, they, for a while, that group, you know, as we, it seemed like we were starting to emerge from COVID, we're talking about how do we mark this? How do we kind of mark the enormity of what this this tragedy has meant for our community, because we've lost so many people and that's been very invisible. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, if you want anything magic to happen, you talk to Doreen at that point. And knowing that the Arts Fest was, you know, likely coming up, COVID permitting, Doreen and I had a couple of conversations, and then Doreen had a genius idea, which I knew she would. And it kind of emerged into, let's do something that honors in a very individual way every single person from our community who passed away during COVID. Mm-hmm. And we knew this was going to be an enormous undertaking, because at the time we had almost, it was about 475 people. And we were saying whatever we're going to do is going to involve 475 works of art. Yeah. Of course, now we're looking at 600.
Wow.
Just because of the you know, the deaths that have happened since then because of Delta variant. Mm. But that makes it all the more, I think, pertinent that we do something that just shows there are 600 individuals from our community who are lost from our community because of this pandemic. And no matter what your politics, no matter how this has impacted you, that is an enormous thing that we need to honor, commemorate, take pause in. And so the idea is that this this project, which is called Bridge of Souls, is just that. It's an opportunity to hang banners which each represent a person who's been lost from our community to COVID-19 around the Indian Spring Park area during the Cultural Arts Festival. Each banner, which each one is 2 feet by 2.5 feet, will be individually decorated and will have a silhouette of a person who is now missing from our community.
That's awesome. Doreen, do you have anything to add to that?
I think when we were talking about how we would create this, it was very much the word souls and how we had lost souls and how they were color in the life of their families. Mm-hmm. And so not to use a gray silhouette image, but to use images that reflected a symbolic image that reflected age or race, but also reflected the color that they had in their lives, mm-hmm. and the color they gave to their families. And so every single silhouette is a vibrant color, because we wanted to say their lives were vibrant. And receiving some of the pieces back from the artists, which we've got about five or six at the moment, it's, well, sometimes we've actually almost been in tears because...
We have.
The actual...
We have, we're going to be honest. We've been crying.
Yes. We have. Because what we thought is actually coming true, in that the silhouette is being pushed forward from the design. Mm-hmm. The artists are making the design so that the silhouettes leap out from the banner. And I think it's going to be very thought-provoking. And I think, like Fiona says, to make everybody really understand the impact of the loss of all these lives, yeah. and everything that those people have done in our community, to make our community work.
Yeah, it's so easy to look at the numbers and just see the people who have either contracted it during this time or who have unfortunately passed, and just, you know, you get so numb over time that it's just a number and you just hear their stories. But by being able to see them in person, you can, mm-hmm. just like you said, see the bright colors that they impacted on their families, their communities, even though you don't necessarily know them personally.
You can't look at that stack of silhouettes cut out and not weep. Mm-hmm. I mean, it is, you see a stack of 100 pieces of felt, mm-hmm. and we've been pinning them onto the banners, and then we've got a number of local volunteers and seamstresses. That sounds sexist, but you know, people who sew. And you can't see a stack of those without just weeping for what this means to our community. And I think the impact of seeing all of those is going to be very powerful for, you know, anyone who was lucky enough not to be directly touched by loss in this time. I think it will become very evident that this has touched so many people. And the it also kind of makes evident it's touched some communities more than others, too, mm-hmm. in the way that, you know, you can see ages, you can see, you know, racial characteristics that kind of make it evident that this is not an even playing field in the way that it has impacted our community.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so we mentioned that you guys have 600 banners, even though we're not at the numbers of 600 yet. And so each of those banners that you have represents a family. And so you incorporated artists as well, but also gave the opportunity for their families to get involved in designing the banners. Can you talk a little bit about what that process is like and how that kind of collaboration has come?
Well, our project manager, Carolina Herter, has just put out or is putting out a Facebook message to let families know to contact us if they would like to be a part of creating their own banner. And we actually have an art room at, it's called the Yellow House. Mm-hmm. It's on 402 Tyler. And so we can actually help the families go through this if we want to, if they want to do that. So at the moment, we're just kind of getting the call out through Facebook, mm-hmm. to families to notify them, as we don't have their addresses.
Yeah. So if someone has a family member who unfortunately passed from COVID, they can just contact you and then get a banner, or you guys can connect them with an artist as well?
Yes. Perfect. Yes. Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
So when will these banners be placed and for how long?
We're hoping that they're going to be begun to be installed around about the 8th, 9th of October. It'll take 2 or 3 days for the mm-hmm. installation, and then they will be hung for approximately 1 month so that people can view them in their own time. But also during the festival, the following weekend, which is actually Baylor Homecoming weekend as well, We'll have a very special event on the Sunday afternoon. Mm-hmm. We don't have enough details to tell you yet, but there's going to be a very special event to memorialize the souls that we have lost.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And where will they be displayed?
In the Indian Spring Park area at the moment. It's not kind of totally decided exactly. Mm-hmm. So we're completing all those final tiny details now.
Awesome. To kind of segue while we still have some time, I want to talk about the Cultural Arts Fest since, you know, we're back, I guess, after a year off and you guys have incorporated so much in past years and incorporating this new project. What does this year look like?
It looks a little different.
Yeah.
For two things, we don't have Dance Festival and we don't have Film Fest. But we will still have an early childhood area. We'll still have easel art. And then we're putting a lot of the other activities around the bowl of Indian Spring. But not all the activities. We've had to reduce our arts activities by at least half.
Okay.
We'll have a smaller artist market. We will have Science Fest. And yes, we are bringing the Bike Zoo butterflies back. We just feel that's something that will make everybody feel happy and that we're back.
That's definitely a fan favorite.
It's a fan favorite, yes. And so, and then also, of course, we have WordFest, which is now at an international level.
Awesome.
Sandy Horton manages that part of our festival. Sandy has done an amazing job. The International Festival in Austin is one of our partners, and we get poetry submitted from all over the world. So it's that's a really exciting part. And how it was a small festival in a 20 by 20 tent has grown into something that's reached out to the world in just writing.
And is it in Indian Springs Park and in the Convention Center?
It's in Indian Spring Park and the Convention Center. Friday evening will start at 6 and with music in the Indian Spring Bowl. And Saturday and Sunday will open with the rest of the festival.
Awesome. Well, we are so looking forward to it. Thank you so much, Doreen.
Thank you so much,
Fiona, for joining us today.
Great to be here.
The Bridge of Souls project will be on display in Indian Springs Park throughout the month of October and November. You can also join in the Waco Cultural Arts Festivities October 15th through 17th in Indian Springs Park and in the Waco Convention Center. Visit wacoartsfest.org for more information on both. This conversation will be posted on kwbu.org, and you can also visit creativewaco.org/blog for content related to this episode. Catch the next episode on Friday, October 22nd for more deep dives into local arts and culture. This has been Conversations with Creative Waco on KWBU, and I'm your host, Kennedy Sam. Thanks for tuning in.